The name of the episode is Funny Bunny Penis.
Okay, that should be the name of this episode.
Funny Bunny Penis. Are we recording?
Yeah, okay. I don't know how much of that I caught, but yeah.
Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fear Fic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goose slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
Oh, Jesus.
So, Dead Palette, you got your pants on?
Oh, no.
Wow.
But I am excited for the E3 announcement they just made.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, did you see the announcement for the PS5?
Nope.
Yeah, everyone's hype about it, the PS5.
Cool.
It comes with a new peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
It's a washer-dryer. slash shower.
Now, when are gamers going to use a washer, dryer, shower?
Well, that's the whole thing. You remember how like they had the Wii, and the Wii was like supposed to get people more active, and
it
didn't work. Yeah, what they're doing now is they're adding in a washer, dryer mechanic as well as a shower mechanic.
Interesting.
And it's always on, like Xbox Live, and it will like harass you if you haven't taken a shower today.
A shower that's always on sounds like a waste of water. I don't know.
It is. It's constant. It's not always running, but it's always asking you to take a shower.
Hmm.
And along with that, you want to get the PS5 and not the Xbox version of the new Call of Duty game, because there are shower scenes in there.
Oh, I see.
Where you're showering with a bunch of other men who haven't seen a woman in a year.
Hmm.
Besides military women, but
Abysme, what are your thoughts on this?
You said that it has a shower level, and my mind went to a World War II showers, and that was a very dark place, so I didn't say anything.
I can say that David Cage, the guy who made like Beyond Two Souls, is very thrilled to have this peripheral at his disposal.
God damn it. Inviting young actresses shower. Over to play.
Yes.
All right. Wow. Well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes you just watch a movie like Juno, and you're like, I got to see that girl naked. I mean, you know.
It crosses everyone's mind, right?
Yeah. you know that pregnant teen girl? Oh, yeah. That's what I want.
Mm. I thought she's damaged. Yeah.
So if we've gotten, is it defamation? If we've gotten the defamation out of the way, how's everybody been doing?
What is he going to do?
I don't
sue?
Know. Probably.
He's got too many lawsuits already against him. What is he supposed to do?
Maybe he could like recoup them back.
Somehow.
Yeah. All right.
Not if he loses the other cases. If he loses the other cases, then it makes it harder for him to win this one.
Well, doesn't it make him more desperate for money, though? I mean,
no, it'll be like, all right, well, we're asserting that you're a weird, creepy pervert, and according to legal precedent, laws have already decided that, yes, you are indeed a weird, creepy pervert.
Laws don't decide you're a pervert. Judgments decide if you're a pervert.
And he knows that because he is a lawyer.
That's right, and a pervert.
So I know what I'm talking about.
He's a pervert. He's a lawyer. Coming this fall, show me your briefs. I mean, that's not a joke that's been done before, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's still good.
I guess this has been a good episode of The Hyper-Realists. Yeah. See you guys next time.
Is David Kaje ruining creepypasta?
So he
ruins his own games, that's for sure.
Speaking of cages, like David Cage, you know, a storage unit is just a cage for your unwanted items, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's where I put all my prom night half-birthed abortions.
God, oof, fucking damn it.
Dark. Oof. Oof. Dark. Ooh,
ooh, it's so dark that you have to point out it's dark as if that will help. But no.
No, I went there and then I was like, I immediately regretted going there. Hmm. Just like our narrator in Fleming Storage Unit number 3, Predatory Polish.
There we go. Brought it around.
Speaking of abortions.
Predatory Polish.
Speaking of abortions, the Fleming Storage Unit contest.
Oh.
Ooh. Went even darker.
That was deep.
I'm done. I'm done here. I don't have to be funny for the rest of the episode.
Is it predatory Polish or predatory Polish?
I'm going to go with Polish because, well, actually, I see the word Nazi in here, so maybe it is Polish. Mm. Shit.
Don't forget your Polish polish.
Oof. Well, I'll guess we'll find out.
I should say, before we get started, that by the time this comes out, there will already be a bunch of Dead Serious episodes tackling the Fleming storage units out, because I just shotgunned a bunch of them out there in October, so you can find them all on my channel, and I think the link is in the description of this YouTube-latory video. Ooh. YouTube-latory video. Okay. Yeah.
Watch them all to piece together the scenes of Dead Palette being fucked by Susan Wojcicki. I don't know.
As the storage units shuttered door opened with a loud clang, the next noise heard beyond the faint echo was the sound of skittering vermin.
I read that as skittering women. Oops.
Skittering vermin.
I know something about skittering women.
Have you ever skittered a woman? I mean, like, really skittered the shit out of her? Till her eyes roll back.
Skittered? But yeah, you just go up to a lady in a bar, start skittering all over her. It only made sense that the collection of items from Great Aunt Beatrice and Uncle Felix would have eventually attracted bugs. Hmm. Both were horrible hoarders of things no one wanted but might need. Might need. I put the scare quotes on the wrong word. Aunt Beatrice lived through the Depression, so it made some sense. Uncle Felix couldn't part with things out of fear of not having them when the day arrived where he would need it.
Mm. First paragraph, but real relatable.
Yep.
Everyone knows a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows at least one.
That's right.
A few grammar things, but yeah, overall, very pulling us in, I think.
So
yeah, solid.
DP, I got to remind you, don't be a grammar Nazi. Now, come on.
Be a grammar Polish.
Be a grammar Polish? Be a grammar Pole.
If someone comes at you with the incorrect grammar, just be like, oh, okay.
That's the national motto of Poland, by the way, if you translate it. So, oh, okay.
Sorry.
I think that's a grammar French. Grammar French, man.
Mm, yeah.
Let's see.
Comme ci, comme ça.
So, that is how we ended up in the odd end of Montana, where Felix had lived and where a section of the family's items were stored. As I stared into the depths of the storage unit, items of various types stood out. A small collection of hotel soups?
Mm.
Okay. From a Holiday Inn. Newspapers.
Gotta collect them all.
Right. The French onion at fucking Doubletree is amazing. Newspapers of every election since 1944 and a wall filled to the brim with Bounty paper towel rolls unopened and giving the storage unit the appearance of an obscure outlet store that you would find in the very back of an outlet mall.
Hmm.
Still know what the fuck hotel soups are, but I like the rest of that.
Dude, it's just hotel soups. What's confusing?
You've never been to hotel soup? Ugh.
Is it like next to the little mini vodka in the mini bar is just hotel soups?
It's also in a vodka bottle, too. It's got like clam chowder in a bottle right next to the vodka. Don't mix them up. Disc.
So I called up the captain. Please bring me my hotel soup. He said, we haven't had that soup here since 1969.
God damn it. Alright. Yet, they were not why I was here. That's my contribution.
Some sip to remember. Some sip to forget. I'm just thinking about how many Hotel California jokes you can make about hotel soup.
I'm trying to think of how you could work in like California and cauliflower, but I don't know how that would work. But yeah.
I was looking for items from my great uncle, John. He served in World War II, fighting in Poland against the Nazis, where our family was originally from.
Hotel soaps. Soaps.
Oh my
That's
god.
The correct fucking word.
Hotel okay. soups. This is better because there are cans of soup in the shower. Honey, why do you smell like split pea?
Oh boy. No. Shit. Shit. Wow. The wow. idea of the of just like a movie about an inept hoteler, a person who is just like inherited a hotel, mm-hmm. and it's like all the people under him are telling him what to do. It's like, sir, we need more hotel soaps, and he just mishears it and puts soup in every room.
Oh man,
this is a right. tragic misspelling on a order form. Hotel yes. soups. All right, 300 right. hotel soups.
They're the experts in being hotel people.
I like the dialogue in this movie.
Obama, why are you showering?
God damn it.
Why are you showering in tomato bisque? Don't ruin this for me.
Listen.
No, he's showering in tomato soup, and apparently the hotel just really has a skunk problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Where our family was from originally. Fighting for both American and kin, he saw the liberation of Warsaw and gained medals for it. Yeah. I admire him, as did my whole family. Hotel soups. I knew great Aunt Beatrice would have something of his. She kept everything. The rest could be tossed for all I care. I wanted to see if she hid away his medals.
So, being as this is a story about an ancestor who was in a horrific war, I'm wondering if he's going to find something very unsavory about his uncle's past.
He's going to find some of that war soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rationing.
Mm.
That's my guess right now. Is that he's going to find something that's going to, you know, he's not even going to bring up to the rest of his family because it would tear down the image of the war hero of their lineage. That's my guess.
Of the proud Poles.
The proud, man.
Well, the title of this is Predatory Polish, so it would be a nice subversion if he just finds a can of shoe polish with teeth. I mean, you know, predatory polish.
That does sound like something from fucking Faceless Corporation.
God damn it.
You may need to add that now.
Maybe.
It was a long search, and as I looked through the piles of junk, I thought of the few times I met the old man. All the stories he had of being a pilot during the... A pilot? Really? Mm. In Poland? Okay. The time he worked at airports flying people during such a golden age of aviation. Okay.
Abysme.
Yes.
Are you worried about a Polish pilot because you think he's going to put a screen door in the jet or what? You think he's going to put a ejection seat in the helicopter? Is that what you're worried about?
I don't think I'm getting Polish jokes. Here.
Anybody? No? Okay.
No, sorry.
You know those stupid Polacks.
Oof.
Yeah, why is that there a thing? Why is that a thing, by the way?
I don't know.
Weird.
I really don't.
Have you heard the military term, the six Ps?
No.
Prior planning prevents Polish pilots.
Oh, god damn it.
That was only four, but okay.
Prior planning prevents piss poor Polish pilots. There you go. There's eight. All right. Suck it.
All right. There you go. All the stories he had of being a pilot during the war, the time he worked at airports flying people during such a golden age of aviation, and some stories he had about when he was a kid. My favorites were the stories about the World's Fair and the souvenirs he got, including green plastic dinosaur from Sinclair. Oh, that would be the petroleum company. Hmm. That still sat on his office desk watching him as he wrote. I kind of wanted that dinosaur, too. I wanted something to link me to the man we boys were compared to growing up. something of the man whose name I shared. All right.
Okay. Everyone downvote Fucking Feather's 6-paragraph dissertation about the one line in the story that references a dinosaur.
How fucked is it? How fucked is it that you make a petroleum company about the remains of the creature that is your lifeblood? Or is it just genius? I don't know.
I don't know. There's a restaurant near me, like a down-home country restaurant that sells mostly pork products, and their sign is literally a drawing of a pig on wheels. Like his feet are wheels, like he's just ready to be rolled into your fucking fat gullet, you know?
Oh, Bubba Fox Family Slophouse, yeah, right.
Bubba. I like how he transformed from Bubba Shit to Bubba Fuck. Wait, actually, maybe they're like rivals.
Maybe it's one of those things where, like, the person who invented the Cabbage Patch Dolls had them, like, had the rights taken away from them or whatever was, you know? It's like Bubba Shits, and then someone was like, oh, I bet fuck is an even worse word.
All right. So
I do like this paragraph, though, because it's giving us...
It was good. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's giving us information about, you know, the World's Fair, and, like, that's a really interesting subject, and, you know, hearing childhood stories about that, remembering them. Again, you know, the whole Fleming Storage Unit thing is... It's set up as a giant layup for, like, okay, talk about, like, family baggage or something along those lines, and they're doing that well.
We got a lot packed in here, too. It's not just about who his uncle was, but who he was, how his family treated him growing up. And it's very, like, one sentence per detail, but we get quite a bit. So it's very easy to imagine.
Mm-hmm. It's very real because, like, I remember when I was a kid and my grandfather passed away, they were like, you know, you could take something from his desk if you want. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, took, like, this big, like, bear paperweight because I didn't know what the fuck to do. I was just like, this is a bear. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's looking for like a dinosaur. Dinosaur's cool. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But, my great uncle died, and all I got was this heavy bear.
Heavy bear. Heavy Bear, by the way, was my band in high school. I'm at It Was, is that correct?
Yes.
It was then that I saw it. A box that blended in with all the others. And that dinosaur. It sat proud like a guard dog watching over his master's grave. Good. And I just knew I had found what I wanted. Taking the dinosaur and stuffing the plastic green toy under my arm, I opened the box and there they were. His air medal, his distinguished flying cross, European African Middle Eastern campaign medal, World War II victory medal, and of course, his gold medal for eliminations on Hanamura. No. Mm-hmm. And of course, his Purple Heart. All on display in a small...
I have gold and I'm Junkrat.
I have gold eliminations. I don't know what you guys are complaining about. By the way, I'm by the enemy spawn. All on display in a small box along with the ribbons that went to them. There was another one. Polish in its writing. Less official looking, but it was the one that Great Uncle John never said what he got it for.
Ooh.
A bit of a clunky sentence, but also if you're writing a story as a casual person writing a you know, thing about what they're doing, that's fine. Whenever I had pointed it out, he said he got it for being a hero that Warsaw needed. The hero they needed. The one they deserved. And never said anything else beyond that. Okay.
I will not be disappointed in this if it turns out that it's literally just Two-Face. If it's literally just Two-Face and we get trolled, I don't care because that's so goddamn funny.
What were you doing in Poland, Two-Face?
Give me my dinosaur.
It was a false flag.
God damn it.
He was killing the Jews to inflate the numbers.
Oh, man.
You'll never defeat me, Two-Face. In my bat belt, I have hotel soups.
I was going to say Zyklon B, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Too easy.
I love, though, when it mentioned air medals, the first thing I went to is just Air Bud, but competing, but participating in the battle in Warsaw.
Jeez.
Air Bud 25, World War II, Eastern Theater.
Air Bud escapes a Nazi camp where he was a guard dog.
I wouldn't
and,
mind
and betrays seeing... and becomes an allied force.
Oh, well, he'd have to be a German Shepherd then, wouldn't he?
Well, sure, yeah, yeah.
Inglorious Bud? I mean...
Inglorious Budsters.
Somebody make that, and do not credit us, but still make it.
I mean, they would have to have, like, this really evil-looking, like, Persian cat who's, like, the mouse hunter, you know? I don't know if anybody gets that, but that's all right.
Well, okay, so they have the bear Jew. What would the equivalent be? What is the most Jewy dog there is?
God damn it. Do we even want to know? I mean, I don't know.
No. No, I'm good. I'm good not having that in my vocabulary.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
We're starting to see the facade fall away around Dead Palette's true alt-right neo-Nazi persona.
The best thing is that we never had any delusions of ever getting monetized on YouTube.
True.
It's definitely not happening now.
Oh, boy. Okay. As I went to get into my truck, I realized exactly how late it had gotten. The place was almost closed, and those who were still around were making their way to their cars. Thankfully, I had the foresight to get a hotel room that night.
One with indoor soup.
Yeah. Roops, soup service. They have soup service. I wouldn't be staying long, though. I got what I wanted and had no desire to stay in this microscopic town another day more than I had to. It felt like a generational weight had been lifted as I walked into the hotel room. And as I went to set my things down, the dinosaur slipped out of my grasp. It's totally going to break open and be dead people inside of it. As I reached
entire bodies.
Tiny Hitler. He just scurries off into a mouse hole.
Was don't ruin this for me.
Oh, God.
You said cockroach and then Hitler, and then I just imagined a cockroach with a Hitler mustache. As I reached for it, it spoke a few words to myself in Polish.
Nope.
I spoke a few words to myself in Polish.
Yes.
So that's another excuse that they have for poor grammar and saying hotel soups is that they have Polish as apparently a first language. Or second language. The box balance in my arms also gave way, leading to it also bouncing out of my hands.
It's just like a ton of little tiny Hitlers in it, you know, just bouncing.
It's a very rubbery box, I guess. As it hit the floor.
The rubbery box, by the way, is my favorite strip club, but anyway.
Hey guys, sign up for rubber box. Never be able to hold it. Watch it fall downstairs.
The delivery man just pulls up to you and like bounces it across the lawn.
Damn it.
Expert aim. Yeah, totally.
As it hit the floor with a thud, the box lids flung open, revealing that there was something under what I thought was the bottom of the box.
Ooh. Very clunky. I get what they're saying, but yeah, a little clunky.
Are they saying that this isn't just like a normal cardboard box?
Yeah, maybe. Gosh, I don't
it
know.
It has a false bottom.
Yeah.
Like the girls at the rubber box.
Yeah, there we go. That one's better.
Sure. Raising an eyebrow as I walked over toward it cautiously, I saw that the golden lining had under it a gray, unfinished underside with something dark and bristly poking out. I carefully set the metals aside, finding
it was Hitler's mustache.
Oh, yes. God.
And then I wore it and became the Hitler. I carefully set
the
metals.
Yeah, it's like the mask.
Yeah.
It's just like Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Oh,
you put it on
God.
And you become the Hitler.
I suddenly realized every tyrant in history had the same mustache. Now it was my turn. I carefully
you can find the Hitler mustache, but then you can also find the Charlie Chaplin, which is the force of good.
Mm-hmm.
And you become Charlie Chaplin.
That is very apt because Charlie Chaplin made fun of Hitler.
Does if Jim Carrey puts on the Hitler mustache, does he spin around in a circle and go, alrighty then?
I was going to say alt-righty then.
Alt-righty okay. then, yeah, that's
yeah.
better.
Yeah.
Can we get somebody out there, all our little fans out there, all our little minions, our devious, plotting little minions, can we somehow make it so that the mask, specifically Jim Carrey as the mask, can we somehow fool news organizations into thinking that he's now an alt-right icon?
All it takes is one very dedicated group of 4chaners. Hmm. That's all you need.
We need to think of a really punchy hashtag for that. We want to be successful at it. I can't think of one that's not a run-on sentence.
Hmm. Yeah. Or you have to somehow appropriate a very popular meme about Jim Carrey, but I don't think that exists. So
no, because Jim Carrey's a nobody now.
God yeah, just find any gif of the mask and put a Hitler mustache on it. That'll probably work.
Rare footage. Maybe it's like what's the DC Avengers?
Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
No. Whoopsie. No. Justice League.
Justice League.
Damn.
It's like when in Justice League when they had to like CG out Superman's mustache. Like, here's liar before the CG, and it just turns out he had a Hitler mustache the whole time.
What you don't know about liar.
Oh man.
Clickbait video of just Jim Carrey with a Hitler mustache as the thumbnail, and then it's just like, whatever happened to Jim Carrey?
God damn it.
Why won't Hollywood use Jim Carrey anymore?
It would probably work. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
I carefully set the medals aside, finding bristle-like bunches in the shape of ribbons like what you'd get at military events or breast cancer awareness. Okay. Hmm. I guess I get what that means. Tape held each down to the gray inside with a quick scribble of a name and a date under each. It's probably a kill list. And yet the names didn't catch my attention as much as the phrase I recognized immediately written above all the ribbons, quote unquote ribbons.
All right, now
I cannot Polish. Pronounce Polish.
Read Polish perfectly. Go.
Zanaskia Iwaszka Wolnusk. I don't know.
Perfect.
I probably fucking butchered that. For our freedom and yours.
Not as much as his great uncle or whatever butchered innocent people.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Bars. Yeah, we keep getting clunky phrasing, but they're trying to describe something very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that's happening. But yeah, could use some tightening up.
Sure.
I knew that phrase. Great Uncle John told me about it. It was the phrase he used during the civil rights movement he helped in after the war. He was a man determined to never see the Nazi-like horrors ever appear in America. He was a fighter for freedom, through and through. I went to move my finger across one of the ribbons, quote-unquote, and that was when an involuntary shiver went down my spine. It felt like hair? Like hair you trimmed because you're too lazy to go to an actual barber. It was at that point... Meow! Like hair from the veterinary office. Yeah.
I'm going to advise my client not to read that sentence.
Like a hairball, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
It was at that point I put the box back together and set it on a nearby tan table, not wanting to think too hard on it or at all. Yet considering how little was in that room besides the box, I needed to escape. How do we feel about that?
Yeah, probably they mean something else, and I'm starting to agree that maybe English is not this author's first language.
It is. Well, that's the issue. Is English not our author's first language or narrator's first language or both?
I think. Well, because I could believe that this is a second or third generation American, but they have Polish is still spoken around the house. That's why they know certain phrases.
But by the way, I Googled it, and "For our freedom and yours," Polish, and then it says that is one of the unofficial mottos of Poland. It is commonly associated with the times when Polish soldiers exiled from the partitioned Poland fought in various independence movements all over the world. So this is a real thing, and it's something that Poland is known for around those times.
Hmm. Which I did not doubt. A lot of this, like, this is very much part historical nonfiction, and that's cool. I like that aspect of it.
And along with that, I should also say that I don't know if the person who wrote this wants their name out there, so I don't want to accidentally dox them.
Sure,
But... you know, just in case. But the last name was Polish, so there's that.
So Okay. Their name is something like Stephen Polish?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lady. A lady wrote this.
Stefan Polish?
Stephanie Polish. Although it's Stephanie Polish. They changed it when they immigrated.
Ah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Taking the room key and shoving it back in my pocket, I bid the various green and purple colors of the inside of the hotel room goodbye to go clear my head.
Okay, the purple and green thing, I like that they're mentioning that, but I think that should be put somewhere else. It'd be like, and I went into the hotel room and I was immediately overwhelmed with purple and green. Because I think that we've all been there where you walk into like a hotel room or anywhere and just be like, wow, someone is, you know, quite okay with orange, I guess.
The room was purple and green. I could tell it had originally been white, but there was hotel soup all over the walls. But yeah.
Eggplant and split pea was everywhere. and the pro tag sets the box down on the tan table. It's like, we didn't need to know that the table was tan. Didn't really add anything.
Maybe this will all come together. Maybe the colors mean something.
Those are like the collars from whatever the fuck it is.
Totally.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Suicide Squad.
From what's the other Slenderman thing that's not as good as Marble Hornets?
Everyman Hybrid?
Everyman Hybrid.
Yeah, that and yellow.
Looking around for somewhere open, I came upon what looked like the only drinking establishment in this town. It was a Tex-Mex.
No.
Read this damn town.
There you go.
Oh, thank God.
Very important. Very important. It's the only fucking bar in this damn town. I can relate.
You, what? Don't you live in a place populated by many, many bars?
No, but I've been in places where I went to a wedding in Fresno not too long ago, and it was a dry wedding, and I could not for the life of me sneak in alcohol. And we were also in the middle of butt-fuck nowhere, and I was like, there's nowhere to drink. This fucking sucks. So, just relax. That's it.
That's why I don't consider any marriages in the Church of Latter-day Saints real marriages.
Mm. No, I wish I could use that excuse, but that was not the denomination of the couple's faith. So,
okay, just don't go with my joke. Okay, just poo-poo my...
Yeah, no, I'm gonna.
Okay.
I was more concerned with Abysme relating to being the only bar in town. I don't
know. Man. That feel when you're the only bar in town. Hashtag lonely bars.
Yeah.
Bars. It was a Tex-Mex sort of joint called Marg Madness. Mm.
I like it.
I'm very proud of myself for Marg Madness. One of those that made me doubt you could find anything remotely authentically Mexican. For God's sake, the waitress had sombreros on.
Oof. Multiple sombreros. Oh, waitresses had sombreros on. Okay, that was
well,
one waitress.
Not on their heads, though. That's the thing. It's like Hooters.
Oh.
That I did not come up with. The community of Too Spooky came up with the idea of putting sombreros on the waitress's head.
Good job, guys.
But I wasn't looking for the southwest of the northwest. I sat down at a far back booth away from the regulars as I could get and ordered a drink that was probably too sweet, but at least would have something in it and something burrito-like.
Yes. Did somebody just like memorize a rant I've had when I've been drinking and on Twitter or something? Because a lot. Most of the time, I'll be like, "There's not enough alcohol around here, and the Mexican food up north fucking sucks." So this is eerie.
You're always getting drunk and demanding something burrito-like.
Give me a burrito, or burrito-like, preferably.
But here's where the clunky phrasing is getting to be a problem. It's like, I ordered a drink that was probably too sweet, but at least it would have something in it, and it would be burrito-like.
I need a burrito. That's how you get a wet burrito. You just dump it in a pitcher of fucking Corona.
Have you ever given a woman a wet burrito? Till her eyes roll back in her head, and then you just skitter her.
And then later you wake up and you're like, all right, let's order some hotel soups.
Yeah. Have you ever had a hotel burrito?
I would not try. As I sipped my drink, listening to what I think was Despacito on loop.
God damn it.
Wet burrito.
Oh, God.
I thought of Great Uncle John. He loved Despacito before he came.
Oh, man.
Clunky phrasing. Be careful what is getting the same sentence as the other words.
No, he's just... They just played that at his funeral.
On loop for the whole hour ceremony.
They played Despacito on loop because that's how he died. Despacito.
Oh, poor Uncle John. Mama said I was named after him because she felt that I had his spirit. Dad said that all boys should be named after heroes, so it just made sense. But what sort of hero keeps hair in a box? My burrito showed up with a false smile from the brunette who waited on me. The smile of a woman forced to be polite for a living and for tips. I always found it disturbing, rather Stepford Wives-like, to have such service with a smile. Fair enough.
This is why I really hate tipping. I hate the concept. Just charge me what it's worth. Don't make me evaluate your employees. Right. That's your job.
Same.
Please. I just don't like it. Same. People are like, if you don't like your waiter or waitress, just tip them less. It's like, that's not my job. Don't make that my job.
If I don't like the service at a place, I just won't go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't make me do, like, I don't go to fucking restaurants to do extra math. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so annoying.
Just always tip at 20. You'll be fine. Never trust a pretty smile, the old... Oh, I'm sorry. It's an old voice. Never trust a pretty smile, the old voice called to my memory. You don't know the intention behind it.
Don't trust a pretty smile. Never trust a pretty smile.
Never eat hotel soup. Oh, my God.
Does this hotel have a soup list instead of a wine list?
It's got just taps in the room.
You gotta heat them yourself in the microwave.
It was among the rare bits of advice my namesake gave me, and here I was, questioning it. Why, though? There was no reason to doubt except for the fact I found hair in his metal box. But it couldn't be that sinister. It was just hair, right? Man, there is something just sinister about hair. Just finding hair in a place.
Yeah.
That's why puberty is so horrifying.
Ah, who left that here?
Yet the only people who kept things like that were, well, freaks. But this was Great Uncle John, the war hero, apparently hair collector. Mm. The man who took me out to get Pajak. No, that's a card game from Star Wars. When I was younger for Fat Tuesday, though I barely remember it. It's
donuts.
Yeah, it's Polish donuts.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
But that was the problem. I barely knew the man I looked up to. My mind was racked, yet as I went to pay and sign for my food, it came to me. There were names in that box. Maybe searching the names would prove innocent intent.
Sure.
Okay. Like, I know exactly what you mean, but
yeah,
that sentence is just bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, it should just be like, maybe searching the names would prove that there was nothing sinister here.
Would clear his name or something.
Yeah, would clear his name. Yeah. Maybe these were just women he dated.
Oh.
Okay.
Huh.
Quite the, I need a lock of your hair. Oh, here you go. No, your other hair.
God damn it. No, 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 no. Your other hair. Wait, what?
Show me your armpit.
No, your other hair. It's like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. This hair is really long. You don't know the women I've been with.
God damn it.
You don't know Polish women.
You don't know Polish bitches.
Jesus.
I wasn't sure I would find anything, but what other options did I have? So, Just not care.
Yeah.
These people who give a shit about where their family comes from, who gives a shit? Fuck right. Your family. Be your own person, boring ass motherfucker. So I don't want to know about your family.
So the names.
Tell me about where you're going to college.
We get it. Fuck families. Paid for by the Fuck Families Council.
Sign up at our website, 23 and fuck you.
It's like the Family Research Council, but instead of like being against gay marriage, they're just against marriage altogether. They're just like, if you have kids, just, you know, abandon them. They'll grow up.
Don't.
So the names in the box are apparently female. Is that correct?
Potentially.
Yeah. Where does that come from? Da-da-da-da-da. Maybe these are just, yeah, he just says maybe they were just women.
Because I was, okay.
Were the names written on ribbons that were part of medals?
The ribbons were tied around the hair, I think, or like right below the hair, so the two corresponded.
See,
the hair fits a name.
Here for a second, the theory I had, and this is going to sound like I'm making this up for shock value, but I literally thought that this was potentially what was happening. I thought he was getting a medal for potentially raping different women in Poland.
That's an odd pastime, but sure.
Or that, potentially like, killing them. I don't know.
I could see there being like hush hush, not really quotas, but encouragements to like kill Nazi women so they didn't breed anymore. Or something like that. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's a bit of a stretch. It doesn't seem to imply that all the hair belongs to women, so I guess we'll see.
Maybe he was going back in time to kill Hitler's mother, and he brought the hair back for DNA testing.
Maybe.
You say. But yeah.
Nicolas Cage is hunting Hitler's woman.
Mother Fuhrer, starring Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that would probably be a good movie because he'd be able to act insane. That's the only time he's a good actor. Entering the hotel room with my cell phone in hand, I closed the door firmly as I glared at the box that threatened to ruin my opinion of my relative. My fingers went to the box again, opening the lid and then uncovering the medals with a gentle touch. And there I saw the names. It was then I realized all of them were women. Okay. Yeah. Erica Schumacher, 1949, Seattle. Angelica Zimmerman, 1950, Kansas. Hilda Hahn, 1952, Madison, Wisconsin, I'm guessing. Gisela Koenig, these are all German names. 1953, St. Paul. Fiona Wagner, 1955, Columbus. Are now, these all war widows?
Now, just so you know, not in Poland, not in Germany. So,
No.
Kansas City, Columbus, Madison. Yeah.
Maybe these all war widows of German soldiers or something? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that's what happened. Maybe these are all the war widows of the women that he was in a group with.
Wait, and they're just war like, widows of women? Wait.
Yes. No, they're all war widows. And all of them were married to men that he was in a platoon with, and they all died and dying in their arms. It's like, I'll find your wife and I'll give her a good hot dicking.
Sounds good.
I don't know.
But Columbus, is that a different kind of Columbus?
Columbus, Ohio.
Probably. That's not how you spell Columbus, Ohio.
Well, we also, there's a lot of errors in here. So
yes, but it is potentially killing the women who cheated on their men while they were at war.
Oh, maybe. Maybe, yeah.
You just want to see some people die. That's all you want. I'm on to you.
I just love women. Killing.
Those were the ones I can make out, but there were a lot more. I typed in the first name, and a report came up of a Erica Schumacher who went missing at that dating place, and my blood ran cold. My naive heart left my chest and entered the pit of my stomach, as with each name, confirmation of a possible horrible family secret to light. It was more than I could take, tossing the box aside and putting the phone on my bedside table, deciding to get ready for bed. All right, let's finish this mystery out.
My dreams. Oh, Never mind. I didn't dream. Go ahead.
I do like the detail of, you know, giving the names and the dates. And right now I'm binging those names and dates and seeing if anything comes up. And, not getting anything, but I did, as soon as I typed in Erica Schumacher, it did bring up obituary. So who knows?
Okay. We're getting a little into ARG territory here. My dreams were haunted by visions of faces that came up in missing and presumed dead reports. Stories of women who went out for an evening of fun and never came back. Women who were no longer searched for, as by now old age would have taken them into death's grasp, along with anyone who missed them. As morning came, I knew what I had to do, as I packed everything up into my truck as fast as I could. I made my way back down to my family's storage unit and opened it up again. Same mess as it was when I left it. Giving the box of metals one last look, I threw it deep into the depths of madness that represented my family's inability to let go of anything, including their heroes. I slammed the door shut on the unit and, with that Sinclair dinosaur in the passenger seat, I left Haver for good.
So he came back a war hero, but was presumably, I guess, just damaged or just had a quirk and killed German women that he found town to town, I guess. He just turned to a serial killer. But no one in the family wanted to admit to that, so they just hid it away because you can't dare besmirch the name of your war hero great uncle, I guess. I guess that's what happened.
I think we all have war hero uncles who just randomly kill people, right? There's nothing.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, mine was in Paris during Vietnam, so I mean, you know.
Paris, Vietnam, yeah. The capital.
I enjoyed this. Clunky writing, like grammar-wise. I don't know, you know, how fluent our author is supposed to be in English or how fluent they are in English. I do like the attention to detail with really bringing Polish culture into the story. I thought it was quite nice.
I just feel like we're missing something. I don't know.
Maybe if it was presented or like rather executed a little bit better and maybe it was a bit more concise without some of the extraneous details, it would have flowed a bit better. I don't think you necessarily would have to add anything to be like, and the women were killed because whatever. As many grammatical errors and clunky writing as we encountered, I think we knew exactly what the author was trying to say without having to look too deeply. Strong writing sense behind this.
Yes, and like in terms of having a decent, you know, above board plot with a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
I think that maybe our narrator was just a little bit overly dramatic.
Maybe.
Earlier on, because they were just like, what is with his hair? But yeah, just a little. But then I think names, dates, places, and the hair is just enough. I don't think we need anything else.
It's just interesting, though, because it says women who were no longer searched for, as by now old age would have taken them into death's grasp, along with anyone who missed them. So yeah, I'm like, wondering, did they go missing as old women? I mean,
even then, like, they would have still living successors, relatives that would be just, like, oh, I want to know where my grandma went.
I'm trying to determine when they went missing. You know, but that's, I don't know.
I don't know.
Very strange indeed. Well, overall,
I enjoyed this.
Say what?
I enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too.
Whoever you are, since you cannot be named, author who cannot be named, send me an email and explain your story. explain that last part.
I think I can say their name. I just don't want to accidentally dox them.
No, don't do it. Don't do it unless they give permission.
I mean, it's at the top of the story here by Felix Kellerberg. I don't know who that is.
Weird.
No, I accidentally. So, like, when I wrote over the rules for this, I was like, send me your real name, and that was just like a weird clunky thing of like people were like, oh, does it have to be my real name? I'm like, no, I guess it could be a username or whatever. Like, I don't care. And then like, because I ran this thing so poorly, people are just like not seeing the part where they're supposed to send me their username too. So I didn't necessarily need their real name, but I definitely needed their fake name. But nobody, not everybody gave me their fake name. So blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't think anything bad came out of it. So, you know, I think you're good.
Good story, though.
Yeah.
Good story.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap it up with some sort of punchy joke, some sort of final comment, some kind of new meme or new character. We should end it on a positive note. So, Abysme, I'm going to hand that to you. Go right ahead.
Well, we've already said it.
Abysme.
Hotel soups. That's all you need. Hotel soups. Run with that. I got nothing else to add.
No, hotel soup.
Shit's solid. Hotel soups.
Hotel soups. Actually, it's liquid. Shit's solid.
It's liquid.
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Palette, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Good evening, ma'am. Is the man of the house at home?
Goodness, who are you?
I'm...
How did you get in?
Sweet young lady, my name is Dorville Knobs, representative of the Crafty Kaiser Doorknob Polish Company, Limited. How long has it been since you've polished a knob?
Why is your head a doorknob? How are you alive?
Did you know knob polishing is the number one way to prevent the horrors of divorce? You know, your husband's secretary is looking more and more appealing these days. Not a day over 20, no children, legs as powerful as a glazed mahogany nutcracker. One dusty knob could mean the difference between happy home and heartbreak.
What about my husband? Did you do something to him?
That's why you should try Crafty Kaiser Doorknob Polish. Just a glob of our goo in your delicate, fragile hand is enough to shine any grimy, smelly old handle to a fine sheen. Show your king the appropriate amount of gratitude with some elbow grease and leave him with a glistening knob that he'll swear was spit-shined.
Okay, you really, really have to leave. Where are your clothes? Why are you wearing a necktie without a shirt?
Crafty Kaiser Knob Polish. So simple to use, even your kids can.
Get out!
Jack Staub is a Twitter account who makes weird experimental animations and songs that I think everyone should check out.
Jack Staub is a Twitter account on a mission.
Jack Stauber. He has a video called Nerpo, which is, I can't even describe what Nerpo is. Nerpo is just like this little animated guy who eats coins from between the cushions of your couch and converts them into dopamine inside of his mouth.
Hmm.
Cool guy.
He also wrote the pumpkin song, which has been playing in my head for weeks.
This is pumpkin song. This is pumpkin song. Pumpkin
That's
song.
That's not
pumpkin
what it
song.
Sounds like.
I'm not going to write you a pumpkin song because you need one because you want me to. Is that how it goes?
Yes.
Haven't you ever heard of writing the pumpkin song? Yeah.
Smack my pumpkin. Is that...
What's the worst that I can say? Pumpkin song anyway.
I never thought I'd write a song about pumpkins that'd be this long.
I walk all this lonely pumpkin. What?
All the pumpkin songs.
God damn it.